It's commencement time around the nation. Most of Wisconsin's college graduates will be marching to pomp and circumstance next weekend. President Obama, though, delivered the address to graduates of Ohio State University on Sunday.
And look at all that America's already accomplished. Look how big we've been. I dare you, class of 2013, to do better. I dare you to dream bigger.
We will get more advice for the graduating class of 2013 this hour from our guests and from you. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, May 10th. We'll get some job seeking advice in this first half hour and more life advice in general after 7:30. And we want your input too, your advice. What would you tell this year's crop of new graduates to help them succeed in their careers and in their life in general? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest, our first guest, is Miriam Salpeter. She is owner and founder of Kepi Careers, a coaching and consulting firm for job seekers and small business owners. She has written several books, including her most recent 100 Conversations for Career Success. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is a scary time, I would imagine, to be a graduate, considering the high unemployment facing young people today, student debt, not to mention just stepping into the real world alone for the first time. How daunting is the short-term future for the class of 2013?
Well, Joy, it seems as if the National Association of Colleges and Employers, who study the job market for new grads, have found that bachelor degree students graduating with bachelor degrees actually have average starting salaries that are up about 5.3%. But clearly, the job market is difficult, especially for those who are not in the popular science and technology fields.
Mm-hmm. Well, the unemployment rate in general for 18 to 29-year-olds is more than 16%. What advice do you have when facing such stiff competition for work when trying to find that first job?
Well, I think that the first thing that all job seekers and certainly new grads should think about is how to focus and target their job search. Job seekers really need to hone in on their best skills and accomplishments and decide the types of companies who will most likely value them.
And so how do you start doing that?
Well, the best thing to do is to first target organizations instead of applying for random jobs. I think so many job seekers are kind of desperate just to land anything, and they have a tendency to apply for any job they hope might stick. But in fact, recruiters and hiring managers tend to really disapprove and get a little annoyed when they receive applications for positions that really aren't from people who aren't exactly qualified.
Yeah.
So I suggest that job seekers do research and spend the time getting to know organizations, what their organization's leaders and hiring managers really value, and hone in on some specific organizations to research so that they'll be ready to apply for those positions from a position of strength.
Yeah. Well, ideally, new grads wouldn't be just starting their job search right now. Presumably, they've been at it for a while. But let's say it's not producing fruit, as they say. Is there something that will make a new grad stand out from all the rest?
I think that the one thing that people who have been taking on internships and have been sending out job applications and doing research about companies, what they can do if they're becoming frustrated is to try something new. I think in general, any job seeker wants to think about, if what I've been doing hasn't been working, what can I do differently? And one thing that I'm really excited about helping job seekers with is to use social media to help expand their networks and demonstrate their expertise. I think a lot of new grads think that they don't have a network, but what they can do is turn to tools such as LinkedIn and even other social networking tools that they might think are more social and less professional, such as Twitter or even Facebook, to help them connect and expand their network and possibly connect with somebody who can refer them for a position.
Well, give us an example of how you might do that. How might you use Facebook, for example, to demonstrate your expertise and to network?
Well, what I teach people to do is to turn all of their social networks, again, people might be using Facebook to share vacation photos and tell people what they're doing on a daily basis, but instead of just updating their status with what they're having for lunch, I tell job seekers to focus in on what it is that they know how to do, what their skills are professionally, and to write about that in their social networks. So, for example, a young job seeker who's looking for something in public relations can update his or her status with things that indicate that they're reading all about public relations, they have their finger on the pulse of what's going on in that field, and they can update by sharing links and information. So people in their network will say, wow, that person really knows what they're doing, and they then would potentially be more likely to refer that person to meet somebody or to network with somebody in that field.
Social media sites, though, can be a two-edged sword, can't they, in terms of you don't want to be putting the photos of yourself at your graduation party on there either.
That's right, exactly. I think that often the negative ramifications of doing the wrong thing online gets a lot of press, but the reverse side of that, just in the same way that you can get negative attention for negative things online, negative pictures that are inappropriate or inappropriate language, you could also get positive attention and connect with people who might be able to refer you for a hire. In fact, what people often don't realize is that networking has always been the best way to land an opportunity. And in fact, an organization called Career Crossroads that studies this type of thing says that nearly half of all companies make at least one hire for every five referrals. So obviously, having a person who works in an organization suggest your name for a position or passing along your resume gives you a much better chance of landing a job than simply applying blind.
Yeah. Besides social media, how might new grads take advantage of or do a better job in networking?
Well, I think first and foremost, they really need to figure out what they're good at and practice being able to tell people about it. I think oftentimes people tend to wear a big J for job seeker on their forehead, and they go around and they meet people and they say, hi, I'm looking for a job. And that's not really the best approach to get people to help you out. Instead, you want to talk about what you're good at. You want to be able to explain competently and confidently how you can contribute to the kind of organization where you'd like to work. And I think that especially for young people, that's very impressive for networking contexts to hear somebody who knows what they're good at and who is able to talk about it. And that really helps out in terms of networking in person.
Any advice when it comes to the resume?
It's really important that job seekers target their resume. Nowadays, most big companies, if job seekers are applying online by sending in an application and a resume, those applications and resumes are going through an applicant tracking system, which is a computer system, instead of to a person. And so what job seekers need to recognize is that their resume needs to have the kind of keyword language that the employer is using in their job descriptions. So really study those job descriptions and then do the best you can to mirror back some of the kind of language that the employer is using. So, for example, a candidate who has an MBA may also want to use the word Master of Business Administration. It's unfortunate, but some applicant tracking systems are set up to be very specific. We'd like to think that they'd be capturing all the keywords as people would use them, but every once in a while, we do find that missing out on some very basic and obvious keywords can prevent someone from being considered for a job.
So anything that the new grad should keep in mind for the job interview? Are there certain common mistakes that can easily be avoided?
When I talk to employers and people who do interviews, one of the most common things that they say that job seekers do wrong is that they fail to prepare and research about the organization. Especially new grads need to come into an interview having done complete research about the organization. There's so much you can find out online and even possibly by talking in person to people who work at that organization or have worked at that organization, and have good, solid questions to ask, as well as to being able to make a clear link between what they are able to do and what the company wants.
We're going to be talking next to a business etiquette person who's talking about how important minding the P's and Q's are. You also wrote about this in terms of thank you notes after interviews, what to, not to say in a thank you note.
Right. One of the things that job seekers should not say in a thank you note is so sorry it took me so long to get back to you. That's something that sometimes a busy new job seeker might have a lot going on and might write a thank you note a little too late. That doesn't indicate good pre-planning. It's not a good idea to be very general in a thank you note and to just send something very generic. Anyone who's going to read your thank you note wants to see some additional specifics about why you're a good fit for the position.
Well, any other advice for the class of 2013, job-related or otherwise?
I really think that anyone who is excited about their future and is, thinking, even if they haven't been preparing thus far, they've been too busy, that they should still be optimistic and approach the market with the sense of what it is they have to offer and how they can connect what they know and what they can do with what an employer needs from them. And when they do that, then they have a much better chance of being successful.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Joy.
Miriam Salpeter is owner and founder of Kepi Careers, a coaching and consulting firm for job seekers and small business owners, author of 100 Conversations for Career Success. We are getting advice for the class of 2013 this hour from you and from our different guests. We'll welcome in a business etiquette consultant in just a moment. But we also welcome your advice, too. What are your words of wisdom for the class of 2013? 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking the weather forecast for today. Showers this morning, then turning mostly sunny. Highs today in the 60s in western Wisconsin, in the 50s in the northern and eastern parts of the state. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of showers, and tomorrow, partly cloudy and cool, a chance of rain tomorrow. Highs in the low to mid 50s. On Mother's Day, Sunday, sunny and cool, highs in the low to mid 50s. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, happy to have you along as we talk about advice for the class of 2013. Our next guest says the graduating class of 2013 should make sure they know their P's and Q's, talking about the importance of etiquette. Our next guest is Marjorie Sinclair, a business etiquette consultant in Milwaukee and author of A Year of Good Manners, A Year of Good Manners. Her website is marjoriesinclair.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us. We read about you in a recent Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story about the importance of etiquette, and you're talking about making sure we put the roll on the right plate, use the correct fork and so forth. Why would an employer care about this?
Oh, a lot of this is to avoid embarrassment. If you know the basic rules of dining etiquette, probably that person also knows the basic rules of getting along with other people and coworkers in a work environment. And the rule for the rolls and the water is this: liquids on the right, solid food on the left.
I'll have to make sure I remember that. So how big of a problem is poor etiquette, especially for young people, students?
Oh, it sort of begs the question, if they don't know how to hold the silverware and they don't know how to dress, what else don't they know? And these kids have spent so much time working on their technical skills. Their resume is good. They've taken all the right courses. Their work knowledge is superior. But what I'm doing can be coached in a few hours.
Well, are business owners, are the job givers really that concerned if students know whether they're using the right fork or not?
Oh, the right fork is the least of the worries. If the job is going to require a lot of client contact, then it might be really unnecessary. But they're using the right fork. Here's what happens. If you use the wrong fork, if you pick up the dinner fork and start eating your salad, you realize what other people are doing, wipe it off on your napkin, set it back on the table, wipe the sides of your mouth, have something to drink, pick up the correct fork, and keep going. The wrong fork is the least problem. How you treat other people, that's much more important.
Yeah. Well, what about some other advice that you might have? What should we wear to an interview?
Don't show too much skin. In business, the only skin that shows is hands and face. A question came up one time at a program about, does the president of that bank have any tattoos? And the correct answer is, don't know. If it doesn't show in his hands or his face, it's his business. But don't show too much skin. I think that would be especially important, particularly going into summer seasons, because sometimes the young ladies are bare-legged and having bare arms. So cover up a little bit more. The rules were based on menswear, and that goes to the wrist and to the ankle and to the neck.
So what if a new grad has a tattoo that's visible? What does that person do?
It's going to narrow their acceptance in the business world. So cover it up where possible and hope that it's not barbed wire around the neck.
So other common mistakes that new grads should not make?
Well, I think that the first impressions are one-third clothes and hair, and that's perhaps easier to control. It's one-third posture and weight. And one-third of your impression is that your smile and the words that you say, the tone of voice, but definitely the smile. Everyone looks better when they smile. I think you should probably greet people with a "there you are" attitude instead of "here I am."
Yeah,
that shows.
You want to give us a little education here in terms of, you told us one thing, but in terms of you're going out to dinner with a prospective employer, want to give us a little bit of the etiquette rules, what plates are used for what, etc.?
Yes. One thing that you remember as you're ordering, first of all, that you should get some guidance from the host about how expensive an item to order. Not in so many words, but the host will make recommendations. If he or she doesn't, then order from the middle of the menu, which is not the center third, but the middle price range. If you order the most expensive item on the menu, it almost looks like, I don't have to pay for this. But on the other hand, if someone invites you out to dinner and you say, I'll just have the soup, it looks like you think the host can't really afford that restaurant.
All right. We talked a little bit with our previous guest about the importance of thank you notes following an interview. What advice do you have on what we should or shouldn't say?
Oh, definitely do it. The thank you note should be short, sincere, and specific. Three sentences will be fine. Send it in less than a week after the interview. And in fact, one of the best questions to ask at the end of the interview is, when will a decision be made on this job? And if they say, well, we really need to make a decision in the next couple of days, that's when you use email. In fact, a lot of people will use an email thank you note, first of all, followed up with a handwritten thank you note that goes through the post. But short, sincere, and specific, how much you enjoyed meeting the interviewer, the points that you like about the company, and not as one young lady did when she finished the interview, which had gone quite well, then she dropped off a thank you note with the receptionist. That was prompt, but the problem was it was obviously written before the interview, so it had to be pretty generic.
So how do you teach people skills?
Demonstration and also the reasons for the rules. There are reasons for all of these rules, and when you know the reason, it's a lot easier to remember the rule and probably follow it. But some rules are out of date. If you want a good laugh, read an etiquette book from 30 or 50 years ago. And one of the things I think of is the extending the pinky finger when you pick up a teacup or a glass. It's not done anymore. Yes, Queen Victoria did that, but she had arthritis in her little finger, and she could not bend it, so it stuck out. So the rest of the court didn't want the queen to feel bad, so they all stuck out their little fingers, too. The problem is she died in 1901, so there's no reason for that rule anymore, and now it looks sort of artificial and phony.
I didn't know that. So in our final minute, any other words of wisdom with regard to etiquette to help the graduating class of 2013?
I think I would just like to mention that the difference between etiquette and manners. The word etiquette is French, and it refers to all of the rules governing behavior. Manners is an English word, and that refers to your personal behavior. So the essence is good manners are more important than etiquette. And as I say it also, good manners are good business. They're free, very cost-effective, and always make you look good.
Thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Marjorie Sinclair, author of A Year of Good Manners. She is a business etiquette consultant in Milwaukee. Her website is marjoriesinclair.com. So we will continue getting advice for the graduating class of 2013. We spent this half of the show talking about more job-seeking advice and work-related advice for the graduating class of 2013. We're going to broaden our focus more in our next half hour. We're going to be welcoming in the founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates, Connie Kilmark. She will join us with her advice to the graduates of 2013. And we want your advice, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network. It's graduation time across the nation, and as we heard in our last half hour, the graduates will need to put some extra effort into finding the job they want, especially with a 16% unemployment rate for their age group. We also heard that good manners matter. We'll broaden our discussion in this half hour to go beyond job hunting advice and talk about finding fulfillment, finding happiness, pursuing passions, and being successful. We will continue to take your advice, too, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Friday, May 10th. Let's take a listen to what President Obama told the graduates of Ohio State University on Sunday in his commencement address.
To the class of 2013, I will offer my first piece of advice. Enjoy it while you can. Soon you will not get to wake up and have breakfast at 11:30 on Tuesday. And once you have children, it gets even earlier.
So what advice do you have for the graduating class of 2013? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let me welcome our next guest. Connie Kilmark is with us, founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates. Good morning, Connie.
Good morning. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. So do you agree with President Obama? Good advice?
I laughed. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually brilliant advice because I think there are a lot of night owls among the young, and they enjoy that second shift or even sometimes third shift sort of life. But most of the decision makers are awake at 6 o'clock and in their job settings by 7:30, 8 o'clock. And so as wrenching as that might be, I think it's important to start adjusting your clock even before you absolutely have to, because you don't want to be a starter or a beginner at that particular, actually rather difficult transition right at the last minute when you have an opportunity that starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. So start now practicing and get over the difficulty of that. That was excellent advice.
It really was. I enjoyed that. So, yes. Well, let's say you're giving the commencement speech to all graduating the class of 2013. What's your short commencement speech? What advice do you have?
Well, I think the most inspiring piece, but it's also something that you do every day if you have the right attitude, is understand that every moment that you are interacting with other human beings is a potentially transformational moment. And you're building their notion, their brand of you in the mind of whoever it is that you're relating with. And as a result, if you think of every moment as a branding of you, if you think of every moment as something that has your personal name on it, you'll treat that moment and that job and that interaction as if it were the only and most important thing you're doing at that moment. And since it is the only thing you're doing at that moment, why not get into the habit of actually being proud of the way that you handled something, even if it was something that you might consider rather trivial? It gets you into the habit of simply doing what you can to do the best at whatever you're doing. And it's surprising how that habit builds over time to build an impression in other people's minds that you're, what, trustworthy, dependable, a person with a relatively bright attitude who brings interesting ideas or at least some personality to the workplace, but not so much so that you overshadow or crowd out others. Ask more questions than you answer, if you know what I mean. Be curious about your coworkers and remember some of what they say so that you're building relationships that are at least neutral and, if possible, shining, even if they're incredibly temporary.
You know, I would imagine, Connie, that a lot of the graduates are very excited about moving on in the world, but they have to be really stressed out. They hear all the news about the high unemployment, growing student debt, people putting off retirement. How do they keep all that scary stuff from I don't know, getting in the way of their dreams?
Well, you know, It is scary, and it is a very difficult time to be a 20-something in the job market. The people with college degrees are going to do better than the people without college degrees. They're going to have more confidence, and they're going to, in fact, find a spot at some point. But they may need to find multiple spots. The days of getting a job and just hanging there for a career are completely and absolutely gone, and this generation does not expect that. It's just that at this moment, the reality is this is the moment that they've been born into. This is the moment that they're coming of age in. And in very many ways, this will shape a significant number of the expectations that this generation has in the future. It may be that what they learn is hold on to what you have because you don't always know that you can find a replacement quite so easily as you imagine. And hold on to it until you have a really firm grip on that next thing. There was once a person who told me that one of the great rules in rock climbing was three-point contact at all time. That means 2 feet and one hand or 2 hands and 1 foot. And that means that you don't let go of one rock hold until you have a really firm grip on the next rock hold. And I think that might be something that this generation, this new college graduating class and its successors will need to think of in their job experiences. So you want to do as well as you possibly can, even if the job you land is disappointing or less than you think that your bright shining light is worthy of.
I'm going to sound like the grumpy old lady to some extent right now, or in the aging baby boomer that I am. But I'm wondering if new graduates today, you know, young folks today, expect that the first job that they are going to land is going to be a job that is, you know, paying them at the pinnacle of a career. Are expectations too high? Or
well, if they have those expectations, this is the great danger, that they will use consumer credit, and they are a target to this moment for credit card companies who are looking for new customers. Of course, many of our recent college grads or soon-to-be college grads are going to also already have those virginal credit cards that are the first ones of their lives. And they may spend as if that job were earning what they were in their mm-hmm. minds imagining that that first job would earn. And that creates somebody who's anxious about money, finding it hard to make minimum payments on credit cards. And it's surprising how much that damages your attention span and your capacity to focus on the job you do have, because it actually starts to make you feel even more bitter or anxious about the fact that you're not making what you quote-unquote thought you should be making by now. Whatever you are making is what you should be making now, and it would be so wise to spend the money you do have instead of the aspirational money you hope to have.
Mm-hmm. A listener named Clint tweets, "College years are only the beginning. You will grow far more between the ages of 23 and 28 when you are on your own. It's all about relationships."
Yes, wonderful. And your relationship, I like the tweet. Your relationship includes your landlord. It includes paying your utility company on time. I mean, it includes the financial relationships. It includes your business and workplace relationships. But it also, really, it also, I imagine it to mean the relationships with your entire network of people. At your graduation party, there may be people who are your parents' friends. You may have known those people since you were a baby. They have now been with you and noticed your life and come to the events of your life all of those years. It's time to transform the relationship and treat those people as really important guests at that party, because those relationships are relationships who are rooting for you. Those are relationships and people who very well may be able to help, but who in fact have already come through for you by being there for your life. So a relationship, to be a relationship, has to be reciprocal. That is to say, it's not just what can you do for me, but in fact, how can I meet your eyes, send you a prompt thank you note, and actually say thank you in that note for coming and being in my corner during the years of my growing up. Now that I'm on this threshold, I really appreciate the fact that you've been there for me.
Darla in Barron is with us. Hello, Darla.
Hi.
What's your advice?
Thanks so much. Yeah. I just say that, you know, remember as you graduate, this is your biggest income increase in your life when you get that new job.
That's perfect.
So, you know, don't go out and buy that new car and, you know, because we all seem to live beyond our means. I mean, it just seems to, all of a sudden you've got debt, you now are paying, and you feel poor again.
Mm-hmm.
So, just be wise with what you spend your money on.
Well, you know, I'm going to quote a person who called on public radio when I was doing a show many years ago about car buying and car leasing and the love affair of half the American public with internal combustion. I'll let you imagine which half that is. And he said, "You know, young lady, I've been making a car payment all my life, but I've never made one to anybody but myself. When I graduated, I got $800 in graduation money, and I bought, now this is a long time ago, I bought an $800 car, and I started making car payments to myself.
Hmm.
When that car died, I had $2,000, and I bought myself a $2,000 car, kept on making car payments to myself. When that car died, I had $5,000, and I bought myself a $5,000 car, kept on making car payments to myself. Now I buy a new car when I need one, but I never miss a month making a car payment to myself. I thought what he said was so wise that I've been repeating it ever since. You might want to adjust the numbers up a bit because cars cost less 2 decades ago. But if you think about it, what he did was say, this is only my first car, and any car that I get is a big improvement over the bicycle that I've been using. If I completely own the car, even if this job doesn't work out, I can travel to the next one. And so thinking about the car being owned outright protects it from the vagaries of your job ons and offs. And building slowly towards a more comfortable car, thinking about the fact that you're probably going to have, what, 12, 15 cars over your lifespan? Some of us fewer because we keep them so darn long.
That's right.
But others of us, perhaps that many. And so there's another car out past Pluto on its way to you. To treat that as if it were a big surprise is silly. So with that first one, shoot at a modest level and know that you can own it even if the job falls through.
Talking with Connie Kilmark, founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates, a frequent guest on Wisconsin Public Radio, here to give advice to the graduating class of 2013. And, you know, I think we all can glean something from this advice, too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's our Friday Week in Review. We'll have two guests from different political viewpoints to talk with you about the top news stories of the week. It's our Week in Review coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we are getting advice for the class of 2013. It is commencement time across the nation. We've heard from a variety of guests so far this hour. Happy to have with us now Connie Kilmark with the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates with some of her advice for graduates, young adults graduating this spring. And our next tweet is from Troy. He says, travel. Before you settle down, even after, travel. New perspectives revitalize a person. What do you think of that, Connie?
Well, you'll have more connections and more ways in which you're committed later. And so I think if you can manage it financially, I think it's really great advice. You see the world from a different angle, and you'll listen to international news differently. You'll be absolutely immersed in other cultures, especially if you can travel. Strangely enough, the less money you have to travel on, the more you will be immersed because you'll take public transportation, you'll eat from food carts on the street. There are so many ways in which being a relatively impoverished traveler is actually a more immersive experience. So I'm with Troy. I think travel is, knowing that we're not the center of the universe, is just so valuable in life.
On the other hand, we have Scott on Facebook who writes, my two cents, no one ever achieved greatness working 40 hours a week. What do you think?
Well, you may not need to work 40 hours a week forever, but as you begin, the world has not been holding its breath for the bright light of you to pop out of college and to illuminate the darkness for us. Others have also been, working and making their contributions. So I think you have to pay some dues. You have to prove that you, in fact, have something to offer consistently. And so while it may not be your long destiny, not everyone is made for an employee's life, but some people who think that the only way to succeed is to be an entrepreneur or an inventor, that's a special breed. There's a fire in the belly, a kind of imagination, an intense restlessness that can live with the insecurity of not knowing about where the next dollar is going to come from. That particular temperament is a special temperament, and I value it highly. It's just that it isn't as common as the person who wants a little bit more conventional life. These two kinds of people are likely to start dating, And as a result, there'll be an employee spouse or a partner, and then there'll be this more big idea, possibly risk-taking person. Be really careful, because there's a nice complementarity there, but once the bills start coming in and there are children and a mortgage possibly, that particular differentiation of personality needs a lot of excellent communication. They can easily come to find that the other doesn't understand their needs and doesn't care about their needs. The employee can feel surprised and taken aback by yet another big idea, and the entrepreneur or the inventor can sometimes feel squashed and smothered by how predictable the other partner likes things. So specialize in taking a good long time on how that partnership will complement and not conflict before you commit in the long run.
Heather in La Crosse is with us now. Hello, Heather.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Heather.
You know, I think something really important for today's youth with all of their energy is they find the time to volunteer. Even if they're working a 40-hour week, it's amazing the context that they will meet through the other volunteers, as well as it's good for their mental health. I think it gives them a lot of opportunity to feel really great about themselves, and it might boost their ego to move on to the next level. And I'm sure that the contact they could make during this time would be amazing.
It was on my list to mention, so I appreciate your bringing it up. I think that you're exactly right. And for any of our listeners who are coming out of school who have faith communities, that's an automatic place where you could put something back in. And because faith communities are always looking for volunteers that are under retirement age, believe me, you would be valued. So that's a place to start where people know you. But branch out from there. And again, not thinking about it as a career move where you're saying, I'll show up here for a few weeks so that I can make some contacts. What you have to bring for any of these ideas to make any sense is real sincerity. That is to say, you bring your whole self and you bring it to a purpose you care about. If it's the human rights campaign, if it's the food pantry, if it's a neighborhood association that you've benefited from, you know, whatever it is that you volunteer on, make sure you actually sincerely care about it so that there's a whole self that comes and not just a phantom self that's combing the room for possible contacts. But boards of directors are full of people with some influence and who have successfully worked in the world. So you're quite right. It's good advice.
We have just a minute to go, Connie. Your one-minute commencement speech, I guess, to get to anything else on your list that we didn't get to yet.
Well, my last thought is specialize in taking care of your student loans. Communicate even if you can't make the payments. This is such mundane advice, but the way that you handle this, including when you call and stay in contact by letter when you can't pay, that's going to bear such great fruit, because those loans, if they're well cared for, are going to allow you to buy a car or a house. And if you don't take care of them, they are probably a long business relationship that will, in fact, snarl others that you may wish to have. So think about that as an important relationship as well. And then go out there and shine your light.
Yeah, here, a quick email from John in La Crosse. Graduates, take time over the years to ponder this. There ain't no free lunch. You get what you pay for. Question authority, but remember the squeaky wheel not only gets the grease, it sometimes gets replaced.
That's a great way to end the hour.
And he says, thank you and congratulations. Connie, thank you very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure. Go get them.
Yeah, go get them. Connie Kilmark, founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this hour. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster for on-air direction. And thanks to Robin Cherry for on-air production. And thank you for joining us with your advice. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.